You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Sin is believed to have both spiritual and temporal consequences in Christianity. Spiritually, sin separates individuals from God and disrupts their relationship with the divine. Temporally, sin can result in suffering, broken relationships, and societal injustice. So we are joined on the line by Pastor Musa Gwiza, who's going to help us understand Guti. This stealing of sugar that we do, you know, are there consequences to it there? So Pastor Musa Gwiza, good morning. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Good morning to you too.
Good.
And good morning, listeners.
Yes, we are good, Mfundisi. Thank you so much for coming through to help us understand the consequences of sin.
It's my pleasure, always.
Indeed. Before we start, Mfundisi, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray?
Let us pray. Our Father, once again, we ask for your guidance as we delve into this study of sin and its consequences. Help us in everything that we should, at the end, realize your desire for everyone, and that at the end of it all, at the given time, sin shall be vanquished. Give us the right dimension and the right direction to determine our attitude, so that one day our altitude will going to be determined as well. In your wonderful name we do pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, what are some consequences, spiritual consequences, you know, of sin? How do they impact our relationship with God if we sin? I don't know why I love using the issue of sugar, you know, stealing sugar. I don't know. Maybe I used to steal sugar when I was young, but I remember the other time we spoke about sin, you know, I used the example again, but today I'm going to try to stay away from sugar. But what are the consequences, you know, of sin? Does our relationship with God gets ruined because of sin?
Yeah, first and foremost, sin, the impact of sin is immediate as well as long-term.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the consequences of it. And it does affect the human nature, though with the prospect that sin is going to be eliminated, mm-hmm. and God is going to improve the nature of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
But the immediate consequences of sin, the first of it, or first and foremost of it, is that it was a change in human nature, which mm-hmm. affected interpersonal relationships,
mm-hmm.
as well as the relationship with God. You know, the new exhilarating, eye-opening experience which brought Adam and Eve the feelings of shame. Mm-hmm. Instead of becoming God's equals, you see that as Satan had promised, Adam and Eve actually became afraid, and they even attempted to hide from God,
mm-hmm.
according to Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
So when God questioned Adam and Eve about their sin,
mm-hmm.
instead of them admitting their fault, they tried to pass the blame along.
Mm.
You know, Adam blaming the woman, and then the woman also blaming the serpent.
Yeah.
Indirectly.
Yeah.
They were actually blaming God, you know. So the dire consequences that came of sin reveal the seriousness of transgression, you know. And also the immediate implications also that God cursed Satan's medium, the serpent, condemning it to move on its belly,
mm-hmm.
as a perpetual reminder of the fall.
Mm.
To the woman is also, God also says, I'll greatly multiply your sorrow, and the conception in pain you shall bring for the children. Your desire shall be what? For your husband, etc., etc.
Mm.
And also, because Adam listened to his wife instead of to God, the earth is also cursed,
yeah.
to increase the anxiety and the toil of his labors.
Mm.
You know, so, by and large, you see that in reaffirming the unchangeableness of his law, and that any transgression leads to certain death, God actually said, dust you are, and to dust you shall return. You see now that there is also death, the death factor that is coming in.
Yeah, yeah.
So by and large, sin has negative consequences, both spiritually, materially, as well as physically.
So how now do us as Christians, and also including the theologians, Puntiswami, understand the consequences in of sin in terms of both personal guilt and the broader effects on human society and creation? You know, because sometimes when we sin, when we realize it, yes, we do have that guilt that we carry forever. But sometimes, you know, we don't have that guilt. So how do we understand understand the consequences of this sin?
What I will say there is that I think basically the question seeks to address the character of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And you will see that many scriptural passages, including particularly the account of the fall, they make it very clear that sin is a moral evil, you know, which is a result of a free moral agent's choosing to violate the revealed will of God.
Mm.
And that's according to Genesis 3, 1 to 6 in the Old Testament, as well as Romans 1, 18 to 22 in the New Testament.
Mm.
Definition, as you rightly put it, you will see that being the transgression of the law that sin is, it also produces guilt. And from the biblical perspective, guilt implies that the one who has committed sin, I think we mentioned this yesterday also.
Yes.
It implies that the one who committed sin is actually liable to commit it to punishment. And because all are sinners, all of us are sinners, the whole world, therefore, is guilty before God. And if not cared for properly, guilt devastates the physical, the mental, and the spiritual faculties.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, if not resolved, this guilt produces death, because the wages of sin is what is death.
Yes.
And so, therefore, living in guilt, is something that no one desires, in as much as no one desires to sin. Yes, we sin. Remember Genesis chapter 3:15. God, the first gospel imperative that God gives in the Garden of Eden, when man had sinned, God promises to put enmity between us and the devil.
Yes.
In the way, what is actually meant there is that we do sin. But we don't like to be sinners, to be associated with sin.
Yes.
I can give you an example there. You've heard people when they steal, and they are caught stealing in the very act of stealing.
Mm.
And you ask them, what have you done? They will say, they said. Why? Because no one wants to be associated with sin, though we do sin.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know if the other example that I may give you, maybe the attractive one. But let me say it for the purpose of study.
Yeah.
Call a person who drinks beer or alcohol, who consumes alcohol. Call him a drunkard. Right now, you maybe can be your brother or can be someone passing by. Though he may be carrying a container full of alcohol, alcoholic beverages, and call him a drunkard. You drunkard, come here. You think he's going to come? They won't come. Because those people we've seen, no one wants to be associated with the sin. Mm. So there is enmity between us and sin.
Mm.
So we live with it because of sin.
Mm.
And we are in dire need to be delivered from that kind of living.
Mm.
So that is an immediate as well as the medium consequence of sin.
Mfundisi, you know, you have been saying that, you know, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And someone who might not know, you know, that is what we do find in the Bible. But what other biblical passages, Mfundiswami, are there that speak about the consequences of sin? You know, and how do now these teachings or passages inform Christian beliefs about morality and redemption?
Powerful. When you look at Genesis 3 verse 7, for example, it speaks that for the first time, Adam and Eve had the feelings of shame in front of God.
Mm-hmm.
So the other result of sin, the other consequence of sin is that it brought shame. You know, prior to men falling, there was no shame between men and God, and between men and women. There was no shame. When I say men, I'm not really referring to gender, but the men being referred to there is mankind.
Yes.
So there was no shame between mankind there. And God had created men with the dominion, the very dominion which Satan now promises to Eve. Eve forgets that in the first place, she actually has dominion. She is actually greater in as much as the whole creation is concerned. She forgets that. That's where the deception comes from. But so when you look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 10 now, you will see that instead of becoming God's equals, as Satan has promised, Adam and Eve also, apart from shame, they also become afraid from God and even attempt to hide from him. But there are other consequences that we see today without even opening the Bible. When you cut through Kruger's National Park, would you dare cut through Kruger's National Park right now, unaided by what are they called? By those guards or the escorts of the forest? You cannot. Why? Because you are afraid of nature. You are afraid of animals. But that was not the design, divine design in the beginning. In the beginning, we created to have dominion over those lions, over those elephants. So the other consequence of sin is that our dominion was usurped. Our dominion was taken away from ourselves. Furthermore, the blame game now also is consequential to sin. Adam and Eve, because of their sin, instead of admitting, this now comes to you when you were young, when you have stolen the sugar, even when you have got, what are you doing? Sugar is full in your mouth. It's visible in your mouth. What could you say?
I didn't do it.
I didn't do it. But how did the sugar come to your mouth? I don't know how it came. I also saw it there on my mouth. That is the blame game. So that's the other. Also, it also was consequential to sin. You know, God questioned Adam and Eve about their sin. They don't admit their fault. What do they do? They pass the blame along with others. You see it even in the organization. Leaders, they don't want to admit that they are at fault or that they've made mistakes. And yet mistakes are common. Once you don't make a mistake, what you are actually saying is to deny that you are human. Because to err is human. You know, we all err, and the mistakes are common. But you hear people saying, no, it's not me. It's that guy. It's that guy. It's that guy. It's that guy. And in the process, it's a denial that we are human beings. So the blame game also came in as a factor, as a result of the fall.
So looking at, for example, Mpundisi, when someone has sinned, they are stricken by guilt, right? They feel guilty. And it does affect other people because sometimes the people's personalities change or the mood swings, etc. But how do now the consequences of sin manifest in individual lives, relationships and communities? And how do they now perpetuate a cycle of brokenness and alienation? Because we have the guilt now. Now we have other consequences that are piling up.
I want to take you back again to Genesis there, to the sin's effect on humanity. Some may feel that the sentence of death was too severe, a penalty for eating the forbidden fruit. But we can only gauge the seriousness of the transgression in the light of the effect of Adam's sin on the human race, I think, which is the subject of your question, which is the subject and the substance of your question.
Yes.
Now, Adam and Eve's first son, Cain, committed murder. Right there, the very first son, firstborn. Why least we celebrate the introduction of our firstborn children? But as a result of Adam and Eve's sin, we see their very first son committing murder. And furthermore, their descendants soon violated the sacred marriage union by engaging in polygamy. And it was not long before wickedness and violence filled the earth, according to Genesis chapter 4, verses 8, right up to Genesis chapter 6, you know. You even see God's appeals for repentance and reformation going unheeded. And only 8 persons were saved from the flood waters that destroyed the unrepentant. Why? Because as a result of sin, wickedness has now become the subject of the formula among the inhabitants of earth at that time. The history of the race after the flood is, with a few exceptions, a sad account of the outworkings of the sinfulness of human nature. So that's how sin spreads, and that's how sin is sinful.
Yes, yes, Yes.
If ever there's that kind of a statement, that's how sin is sinful.
There is, Mpundisi. Don't worry, we make up these words. It's okay, you know. So, Mpundisi, when one has realized now that the consequence, the result of sin, the wages of sin is death, right? But then now, when we are still here, we understand that there could be issues of guilt, relationships can be broken, mistrust can be, you know, can be fostered, etc., etc. People can even die because one has sinned, you know, like the death of here, of now, not the coming one. But now, you know.
Very good. That's a very deep theological statement that you've made.
Hey, I have very grown.
Deep theological statement.
I've grown now, Mfundisi. I'm growing.
When you say the death of now.
Now.
And the death that is going to come.
Yes.
That is very, very strong theological statement.
Thank you.
But anyway, go ahead with your statement.
Yes, with my statement. So because people die now, you know, we have guilt, we have mistrust, we have relationships not working out. We have, like, there's a lot of things, you know, that happen because as a consequence of sin. So how does now, us knowing that, how does it now contribute, you know, to our humility, to our repentance and a pursuit for us to have a righteous life, you know, a life where we're trying by all means, you know, not to sin, because we have now understood that when I sin, for example, if I drink and then I drive while drunk, I might cause an accident and people might die. You know, when I cheat on my husband, I would be breaking the family. You know, when now we realize that, how does it now help us to seek a righteous life?
Yeah, first and foremost, it begins with a realization and an acceptance that you are a sinner.
Mm.
And of your own, you cannot save.
Mm.
And the persistency of your stay in sin leads actually to death, as the Bible says. It begins with that realization and that acceptance and that acknowledgement that you are a sinner who is destined to die.
Mm.
And at the same time, the realization again and the acceptance that only the hand of Jesus that is extended toward you, according to John 3:16, can save you from dying.
Okay.
And so the exercise of your freedom of choice, which is still there, choosing life over death, can make the whole difference.
Mm.
I want to bring out something there with John 3:16. Many people think that they understand that verse.
Okay.
But maybe let's introduce another dimension to it, which is deeper. But very simple, which is stated there, which is stated, both stated and implied in that verse. When you look at John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world. Who was loved by God there? It is the world, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And who is the world? Who is the world? Everyone. Whether sinful, whether tall, short, rich or poor, irrespective of color, irrespective of race, gender, status, or even age, is loved by God because he is there in the world. But it is not the world that will have eternal life, according to that verse. Everyone is loved by God. As far as being loved, everyone is loved. But not everyone is going to have eternal life. But who is going to have eternal life? There's a very thin line that separates the two statements in that verse.
Yeah.
Everyone is loved by God. But those who live eternal life is whosoever believes, you know. In other words, whosoever exercises his or her freedom of choice to believe and to accept the hand of Jesus that is extended towards him to save, will have eternal life.
Mm.
So, acknowledging and accepting that you are a sinner and believing that Jesus, through his blood shed on Calvary, can cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That belief, Mark 16:16 says, if you believe and is baptized, you will be saved.
Yeah.
And that's where the transition is.
Mm-hmm.
Once you acknowledge you're a sinner and you believe and acknowledge Jesus, then you're saved.
Mm. Okay.
You're saved.
Mm. And that is all we need to do. We need to acknowledge him and then we are saved. Hey, Mpundisi, if we talk a lot, you know, we might end up erasing the good things that we have learned. But we're going to end it here today where we understand the consequences of sin. So any closing issues or pointers you want our listeners to take home regarding the consequences of sin? And then after that, Mpundisi, please do pray for us that we may recognize, man, this consequence of sin. Because sometimes, you know, we ignore things like, okay, it doesn't matter. But the moment moment we realize that it matters, you know, we are able to do something about our lives. So if you can also pray for that, Mpundis, that we may indeed realize that this is important.
Before I pray, I would say that in my closing remarks, it's like you are in a ship, traveling in a ship, and unfortunately, tempests and tides arise.
Mm.
And then our ship begins to sink. But as the ship is sinking, immediately, there are some life-saving boats around the ship that have been provided. That whosoever will choose to jump from the sinking ship into the life-saving boats will be saved.
Mm-hmm.
But the people now, and in such an instance, precastination is not required.
Mm.
Or even order, even a protocol is not required there to say, if I jump in front of my mamazala, in front of my kwenyana, what will happen?
Mm.
It is a matter of life and death. You can jump. You have to jump. Decisions have to be made immediately.
Yeah.
Such is the case here. This planet Earth is a ship that is sinking because of sin.
Mm.
But God has provided the life-saving boats, which are Jesus Christ. There is no requirement of protocol to choose Jesus. There is no need for procrastination or delay to choose Jesus.
Mm.
We have to make decisions, and decisions have to be made right now. Otherwise, we can die.
Mm.
Let us pray. Father, who art in heaven, we thank you for being with us throughout this study. Continue manifesting your presence, manifesting your desire for us to be saved and to enjoy life in its eternity. In your wonderful name, we do pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mpundisi, thank you so much for coming through. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Amen. Thank you. Same to you.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.